here and that he hasn't refused me. I'm so thankful for that. He hasn't refused me. So far, he's kept me. He's kept my vision alive, and I'm so thankful for that. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows me better than I know myself, but he hasn't given up on me yet. He's still given me an opportunity to work for him, and that's what I want to do. I thought, singing that, you know, though the cost be great, I'll work for you. That sounds crazy. You know, you don't know what the cost is going to be, and to a normal human mind, that just sounds plumb crazy. You don't even know what's going to be asked of you, but you just, yeah, you know, you wouldn't do that in the natural, in the normal world. You wouldn't make a commitment to anyone. I wouldn't in the natural without a little more to go on, but he's so good. And to know that the benefits and whatever he asks is going to be nothing compared to the blessings and the rewards. I want to keep presenting myself and be available to him and keep reminded that though it be great, whatever he may ask, it still will be nothing compared to what he has in store. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of his people.
Thinking as Sister Lynette was talking, the thought was going through my mind about Caleb and Joshua whenever Moses sent them over to view the Canaan land, or to view the land to see what was in the land. And the 10 came back with the gripes, but they came back with the grapes. And they were telling them, there are giants over there. This is what Caleb was telling them. There are giants over there, but we're well able to take the land. Hallelujah. And that's the way I feel today. I know, Sister Lynette, the cost is great, but it's only going to cost us our life. It's only going to cost your life. But, you know, even with that, he won't leave you alone. You come up to a trial, a test. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. Come up to that mountain. Because I'm not done yet. To the mountain, I said, Lord, it's high. He said, I know, but I have the strength to bring you up. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. He's God. He's God. He's God. He's God. put any more on you than you can bear. Faith will come to the end of the sea. Just trust me. Just trust me. I said, Lord, I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to remind you of these words, Lord. And he has never failed me. Not one time has he failed me. And I'm not looking to him to fail me now. Oh, God, I believe you. I believe you. Because I've seen in his word that he didn't leave him alone. Even though at times he should have left him, but he didn't. Oh, God, thank you for the mediator. Come on in. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I'm sold out today. Sold out by the help and grace of God that this is the life, that this is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm thankful, that one day he touched my eyes, touched my ears. I was so lost. I was so lost. I thought that you had to have an image of Mary somewhere to let people know that you're saved. Oh, Lord, when he opened up my mind, when he touched my mind. And so, oh, child, just hold on. Just hold on. I have greater things to show you if you let me. And I said, Lord, I'm going to take down my parasol, Brother Weininger. I'm going to take down my parasol. I'm going to let you lead me, Lord, however you want to lead me. He's shown me the fivefold ministry. Oh, God, and I pray, Lord, help me to hold on, Lord, to be led by the ministry, to be led by whomever, Lord, that you put in the forefront for me to look to, Lord. Oh, God, I want to be proven, oh, God. I want to be chosen, faithful and true, Lord. Know that it can by your help, grace, and your mercy. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, God, thank you. Woo!
Used to attend this church years ago. I remember them. They were just young men. They sang and rejoiced, and many times they blessed us with their singing. Brother Purser, James Purser, Brother Doug Purser, Brother Paul, you remember them. They were just young men at that time. So, of course, Brandy come with her father once, but it's been a long time. But I told her, I said, girl, you just come home. That's all you do. You just come home. And I told her, everything is wonderful. We have a good time, and everybody is just this is the good people, a good people to be with, and we enjoy many wonderful blessings of the Lord. And so we're hoping the Lord will bless her and meet her needs and help her. And I know that since her father used to be here years ago, and we hope that they'll come back. I said you might to do something to touch their lives, that they will come back and be with us. So the Lord's got many wonderful things in store for us, and so I just appreciate him today and glad to be here again, feeling the Lord and desiring greater to go with him. So we pray the Lord will bless her and encourage her and help her along.
Just want to thank the Lord for all the wonderful blessings he's bestowed upon me and everyone else, all my fellow people here today and everyone in the world. Lord, I ask that those that don't know you, Lord, that you send them an angel, Lord, send them a sign, help them to find their home, Lord, and it's good to be back home. And thank you for all of the wonderful people that have made me feel right at home here, even though this is my first time back in several years. I just want to praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my heart and letting me know that you will never leave nor forsake me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Appreciate the spirit of the Lord here today. And of course, Sister Brandy being here with us. Enjoyed her coming up. It's always good to reconnect. Definitely. It's always a rewarding feeling and one of the greatest feelings a person can feel in life, in my opinion, is whenever a father or a mother would grab you up when you was a little child, tell you done good, or they was there to comfort you. It's always I guess I'm just kind of a weirdo in a lot of ways, because sometimes I think of those things and recall how out of nowhere my dad would always come up. My dad was he was like me, I guess, or I'm like him. He'd just come up out of nowhere and just hug me. This is before we ever got in church. How much more is God always with you, always desires to comfort you? I didn't always want to be comforted. Sometimes I don't necessarily want to be comforted now, but he still tries. He wants to comfort me. I got to be able to receive that comforting. Brother Caleb gave us a good lesson on receiving here recently. He did a good job on that. We got Sister Mary Wall here today with us. Appreciate her coming out today. And Sister Amber and Brother Josh, they're here. Appreciate that. They're starting to be regulars. We enjoy having them here. Sometimes you think that you don't have much of an impact on something or somebody, and you know, that I'm small enough nobody would ever notice me, but people notice, and people feel your heart, and they feel your presence or the absence of your presence. So we appreciate everybody coming out this morning and being in service with us. And I've been very remiss in getting up and expressing my appreciation to the Lord. Haven't got up since the second week of November for a couple of reasons. The Lord has been taking me through a trial that has been really, has been quite a little journey for me. And also, I'm a mechanic by trade, and I was a nurse before that, so I like to diagnose things. I like to see why something is sick. You can't just penicillin don't fix everything. My go-to medication is Tylenol PM. The Tylenol eases my pain, and the Benadryl puts me to sleep where I don't have to face anything for a while. Sometimes we got to have a gospel, don't we? We got to have something to get down inside of us. I don't know if you've ever gave a cow use a bolus gun and give them a bolus. One time my dad, he dared me to try to swallow a penicillin. I don't know why he wanted me to do it. I tried it. It didn't work. But a bolus is a pill about that big around and about that long. I don't know if there's a human walking that could swallow it. And if he is, I wouldn't want to buy him a hamburger. He'd break you. But I tried to swallow that pill. It's too big. Too much there. I can take the little bitty ones. There's no problems. Sometimes the gospel's so big, it's hard to swallow. So we'd take them cows, and we'd put that bolus and that bolus gun and pull back the hammer on it and grab that cow's jaw and open it up. Shove that bolus gun to the back of that throat. That pill's going down that throat. Anybody done that? If you ain't done that, you need to do that. That's a good experience. That way, when you know you're getting, you'll really have an idea of what it means to get something crammed down your throat. I still don't like getting stuff crammed down my throat. But the Lord's been taking me on a journey, and I appreciate it. I don't know that everybody else appreciates it, but I appreciate it. The past few days, He's really been dealing with me, and not with me personally, but putting people in my way. Putting them in my way to the point that I'd have to step on them to get around them. That I'd have to physically just ignore their presence and be rude to get away from them. Just pretend that they're insignificant and don't exist just to get away from them. And both of them are so similar in character, so similar in design to elicit a much-needed response from me. You know, God knows what pill you need. He knows exactly what you need. As a minister and a young one, I don't always know what somebody needs. I have to try to find out. My boys get sick. I don't know what they need. I check their temperature and I check their pulse and put a Band-Aid on it and them kind of things. You don't always know what somebody needs. How do you know what somebody needs? You know, God can show you what somebody needs, but God knows exactly what it's going to take. One of the scariest things I've always experienced in God and I've always feared the most is that if God is God, I believe this right here, this is my personal opinion, but God is either going to be your God of everything or He's going to be God of nothing to you. God is either God of everything or He's God of nothing. In other words, I have to completely sell out and accept that He is, as He said, I am the I am. And let Him have His will in me. He told Peter one time, he said, when thou art young, when thou wert young, thou girdest thyself and went where you wouldest. But now, when thou art old, another will gird you and take you where you would not. And I'm finding out that I might have aged along my way. Sometimes it's easier to claim ignorance to something and just, I don't know, I didn't know that, when really you knew it. Deceitfulness. God's been dealing with me about deceitfulness. How it is to live in a world full of deceitfulness. Everybody on the take. You know that it's hard to be deceitful and have a compassionate heart at the same time. A deceitful person will find somebody that's down and exploit their weakness for their gain. You know, God cannot work with a deceitful heart very easily. He first has to weed that out. Like a sore on you, it has to be scooped out. It has to be cut out, don't it? Like a cancer. That's the way my life was. I was talking to our youth this morning about appreciating, not taking for granted those things, even our parents. The thing that created us, mom and dad, created us out of nothing, so to speak. I don't want to get off into the medical side of it. But created us out of nothing. We came into this little world a screaming mess. And yet it's so easy to take them for granted. How much more is it that I came into the kingdom of God? I was nothing. And He took me and found me in my own blood. That's what the Bible says. And He washed me. He put a ring upon my finger, a covenant made with me that I made with Him. And though there's been temptations, though there's been days that I would just soon walk right off of it, walk off the platform and out the door and say, I can't do this no more. I'm tired of it. Climb that mountain. I ain't going to make it to the top. It's too tall. It's too far up the hill. I can't do this. He put a ring in my ear. I think it says put a ring in his nose too, didn't he? He gave us the best we have. And so God put these two people in my way. And I do thank Him for it. I do thank Him that He put somebody in my way that caused me to reevaluate the great blessings that we have as God's children. But not to look down with eyes of condemnation or judgment. You know, we'll care so much more for a bird with a broken wing sometimes than we will for a person with a broken heart. But there are people broken. I'm a broken person. I need God to help me. Laid in my bed this morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, talking to my wife. I think it was 4. I kind of lost track of time. 1. We started about midnight. Seemed like we talked forever. Holding up an example is a tough thing. My God, that's tough. There's pressure. People are looking to you. People are expecting you to maintain a certain level. You know, when Jesus looked down at Mary Magdalene, He had compassion on her. And another scripture said that this leper came to Christ and told Him, came to Him and said, "If thou wilt." Now, He didn't come to Him and say, "I need to be healed." Jesus was obviously able to see that. He said, "If thou wilt, thou can make me whole." Jesus told him, "Be thou clean." Psalms 24 tells us that who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Unto the hill of the... Is it into or unto? Can you put that on? Psalms 24 and 2. And you'll have to pardon me. I'm really... my heart is really heavy today. And I just really want to just have a good cry. There's just something about them tears that washes your soul clean. There's just something about that. Who shall ascend into? Not unto. There's many, 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 many people that have come unto the hill. Unto the foot of the hill of the Lord. Up to the door of the church and said, "Oh my goodness. This is the hill of the Lord." Not everybody's ascended into it. No wayfaring man. Where's that scripture at? No wayfaring man can err thereon. No ravenous beast can go. My God, I've been both of them at times. Stumble into this, but I don't think so. It's going to say that if God is God of everything and He can... He knows my tomorrow. You know, if He speaks that's going to be my tomorrow. I told Jody the other day, I said, whenever, what was the example I asked you? So why didn't He just kill him? Why did He let him fall? Was it David? Why did God let David do what David done with Bathsheba and Uriah? Why did He do that? He could have stopped that. Man, He had already worked for 2,000 years or 3,500 years to get to that point, and now we're fixing to wipe the slate clean and do it again. And because of a lustful heart, unbridled lust in somebody, and we're going to get to rewrite it again. And if he could have just stopped that, and where would we be today? Well, my wife gave me a good answer. She said, "Well, he gives you the choice." I mean, I knew the answer. We were just conversing. She said, "He gives you a choice. There's going to be those that want to follow the Spirit, Galatians 5, and there's going to be those that would rather just walk after the flesh." Choose you this day who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I think leading up to that scripture, it says this right here, whether the gods of this land or the gods of your fathers. Those were the questions that were asked. And the response was, "I'll serve the Lord. I don't want to forget where I came," because when they were giving me, oh yeah, thank you, said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served and that were on the other side of the flood, oh God, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, what are we going to do? We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do our best day to day. Pick up that cross and follow Him. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget where I came from. And I was listening to these two stories, these two ladies, both of them, same age, right in the same age, early to mid-20s, 26, 27 to be exact. And I listened to their stories. Listen how they can't find peace, how they've been done wrong. Tried to have compassion on them. Tried to relay the story of my salvation, my trip to the Lord. They cried and we cried and we... But last night, it just hit me so hard, so real, that except for the grace of God, there go I. I who was nothing. I who had nothing. Come from drunks and drugs on both sides. You go back to my great-grandpa who come out of a shelter in New Orleans. That's where I begin. There's nobody before him. We don't know. The name Shelton William Pryor popped up there one day. And 60 years later, Jeff Pryor popped up here. That's where it all started for me. So I really have nothing. So I invited them to church and maybe they'll come. I hope so. Said, who shall ascend unto the... Can you put that back? Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Into the hill of the Lord. Psalms 24:2. Says, but him that hath a clean hands and a pure heart. You know, both of those. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Next verse, verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Uh-oh. Funny how the God deals with deceit. 3 weeks after the fact, he deals with me on that. He gives me an object lesson. Then he gives me scriptures. Not to swear deceitfully. Not to work deceitfully. You say, well, boy, my God, you're a wreck. God's happening to you. You're just deceitful. What you doing? I think he's just showing me things. How that man can work so... We're supposed to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I'm sorry to sober up everything so bad. I'm just feeling sober. And you know, you could throw your hard-earned money at this thing that the Lord has been showing me. But unless there is a response on the other side of that, there's nothing that can change. God has to have a response. He has to have something to work with. He'll stand at the door and knock. But it's just a door with one knob. It's on the other side. It's on your side. And then I don't want to sear my conscience over with a hot iron. That's something else. You know what that is? We all remember that story? Don't you wish it's just easy to just pay your money? Go your way. Do your sin. Go see the priest. Pay your money and go on. It'd be so much easier. I could sleep. I could eat. I wouldn't feel nervous. Just sin my little sin, do my little thing, pay my little money, and go home. Everybody happy. Church made money. I got free from sin. Praise God. It's kind of like this story. This three old boys, they broke into this apple orchard. They stole 5 apples. First one went in there and stole 5 apples, and the second one went in there and stole 5 apples. And the third one went in there and As he was getting his apples off the tree, he seen a light coming across the field. It'd been spotted. He could only get three apples, where he had to get under a fence and go. So they went to church. They went and ate them apples, and they started feeling guilty. They knew what they had done was wrong. So they went to the priest, and the first one stepped to the priest. He said, "Father, forgive me." He said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Well, I sinned." He said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Well, I broke into Mr. Crabtree's apple farm, and I stole five apples." He said, "Well, say three Hail Marys and put a quarter in the pan." He said, "Okay." So the second one come up. He said, "Father, forgive me for I've sinned." He said, "What'd you do?" He said, "I broke into Mr. Crabtree's apple farm and stole five apples." He said, "Oh." He said, "Well, say three Hail Marys and put a quarter in the pan." He said, "Man." That third one, you know, he thought, "Boy, it's not going to be good." He went in there and he said, "Father, forgive me for I've sinned." He said, "What have you done?" He said, "I broke into Mr. Crabtree's apple farm, stole three apples." He said, "We'll go back and get two more. They're five for a quarter." That's the mentality we can have. Don't you love true repentance? Don't you love? I love the feeling of something down inside reminding me that there is something a lot greater than me that's saying, "Hey, son, come on up. Wash your hands. Be pure of heart. Don't swear deceitfully." We were studying on Proverbs 30 here a while back, and if I don't know that all that would fit. But it's so easy to miscommunicate, to underappreciate. It don't matter what status of life. So many people, that's all they look at. They struggle in their whole life just for status. Just to have a nice car, a nice home, or whatever. It has nothing to do with peace and tranquility in a home. I want the whole American dream. That comes with such a great price. I'd rather have a small house on a hill and some peace in it. Some comfort in it. No stress. It don't take 45 minutes to get in a fight to figure out where we're going to go eat. I'd love to have a nice, comfortable home. I mean, I got one. I walk in there and I don't have to hear nothing. I don't have to hear glass breaking. I don't have to hear fighting and fussing and discussing, cussing, threatening, all those things. There was a day I used to hear that. But God saved me. He gave me a great helpmeet. And He's cleaned my life up in so many ways. And I don't want to, as we started singing that first song, I couldn't help but sit there with tears running down my cheeks. It says, "As I enter into His place, into this place, I can feel His presence." That was the band song, wasn't it? Can I read that? It says, "As I get over here to Mike, I ain't mic'd tonight today, folks, so it's kind of keeping me pinned down. As I walked into the door, I'm sorry, as I walked through the door, I sensed His presence, and I knew this was a place where love abounds." Oh, thank you. And that's exactly what I feel. I feel that arm coming around me today saying, "Hey, it's a trial, buddy. You're doing good." You ever go through a trial and you feel like you're failing? You ever go through a trial and know you're probably fixing to fail it? You ever look at that trial and say, oh, God, I'm fixing to fail this one. You're going to have to help me. I'm fixing to yield to this. What am I going to do? God says, "You're going to be strong. You're going to hold my hand. You're going to get down on your knees and you're going to pray. And you're going to ascend into the hill of the Lord. You're going to keep fighting. You're going to keep marching. That's what you're going to do." "Oh, Lord, I can't do that. I've all become unraveled." My whole life is unraveling. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. It's amazing. It's amazing how 24 hours can make such a difference in a person's life. But it's also amazing how just the Lord touching you for just a brief moment, and all of that just rolls off. And it's like all of a sudden, it don't matter, I ain't got no money. Somebody gonna feed me. I just know it. If he cares for a sparrow, he gotta care for me. I don't know if I can take my heart where I want, where it probably needs to go today, but I just that was my heart for now. How great compassion. Hebrews tells us that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by our infirmities, but was in like manner tempted as us. Is that how that reads? No, it has a not in there. Oh, yeah, 4 and 15, Hebrews 4:15 says, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's been such a time in the Bible when all of God's people was in such a state of despondency. That means that they had no feeling. Despondency is a bad thing, folks. Somebody asked me the other day, said, what's the highest blood sugar? Do you know you can learn to live with things out of kilter in your body? A body can function with things out of kilter. My normal blood sugar runs anywhere from the upper 40s to about 70. I can go eat and drink a malt, and if I hit about 85 or 90, I start getting headaches and all kinds of things go weird with me. There's other people who are diabetics. Their normal is 200, 300. I've known people that operate their blood sugar in a 400 to 500 range pretty much all the time. They can't control it, but they can still function just fine. We had a guy come into the emergency room up at Hillcrest Hospital one night, early in the morning, come stumbling in, just had a pair of pants on and one sock. He come walking in the door. His blood sugar wouldn't even show up on a glucometer. So we pulled the serum on him and sent it to the lab. They sent it back to us. And he was 1,300. The guy probably should have been dead. Now, he couldn't tell you his name, and he was just mumbling, but he was still functioning as far as walking and moving. He was alive. So we can learn to function with many things in the human body. We can learn to adapt with all kinds of things. A man that loses a leg can adapt to that. You lose a hand, you can adapt to that. They got prosthetics and all these other things. We can adapt to many things in life. We can even adapt to stupidity. You know that? On my Facebook page, I put my slogan is, if you ain't going to be tough, if you ain't going to be smart, you better be tough. Well, we can adapt to nearly anything. We can learn to live in any measure, any manner of squalor in our life. It's easy. And a body can function just like that, whether it be spiritually or naturally. That don't mean it's a healthy, thriving body. It just means it's a body surviving. We are God's body, a city set on a hill, a light set on a hill that does not need to be hid, a shining light to the city, a beacon of hope, a beacon of compassion to those that need help, should be. You say, well, I don't see you doing a whole lot. Well, you know what? God's been dealing with me. Give me a chance to get on board. Okay? I've been out here floating my own little boat. God's been dealing with me. I've been rowing away trying to catch you guys. Looks like I caught you. Now let me in the boat. Okay? But we're to have a thriving body. My former pastor used to tell us that. They started talking one time at the church he went to, which was in Tulsa, and they talked on the fivefold ministry and the picture of the hand come on up out of the sea, and how that was the ministry. Beautiful picture. We all know that picture. I don't need to go through it. He said the next day, his neighbor come over there to the fence, and he's sitting there talking to him. He draped his hand over the fence, and he looked down at his hand. He said he had part of a thumb, had part of a thumb, and that finger, and then my hand won't manipulate. Like this right here. That's all he had. Only had all of one finger, his ring finger. And he looked at that guy, and he said, in his mind, he thought, well, thank God our ministry ain't like that. But we can have that. That man did learn to function like that. He learned to survive like that. I thank God that he's got a fivefold ministry and that it's all five fingers, not just the one finger. Let me get back with my thought here. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You say, well, Jesus wasn't tempted in some things. You used to hear the smart aleck response of, well, he wasn't tempted with the mother-in-law. I say, well, if he had my mother-in-law, it wouldn't have been a temptation anyway. I got a good mother-in-law. She did a good job on my wife. I can't help but say anything but good about her. But I think it's Peter tells us that there's three things in the world: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If you go back into Genesis, you'll find those very three things. And it's those, the desire of those very three things that drive us and compel us every day. It's one of those three that drives you and compels you and I in life. We're either seeking our name, we're either seeking something to satisfy our flesh, whatever that may be. Or we're seeking to bring up our name. Did I miss one? Pride of life, lust of the eye. Or we're just desiring everything in life, just everything around us. We throw ourselves upon that just as hard as we can go, trying to obtain and change a status. Eve, whenever she was tempted, she gave in to that temptation. You come up into Matthew, the third chapter, you'll find that Christ was tempted with the very same three things: the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. And yet he didn't give in. That didn't mean that it was done away with. Me and you had the same thing. And so just because I have gotten over my lust of the eye, and I may have gotten over my lust of the flesh to some degree, and I may have gotten over my pride of life to a large degree. I just told you I was a big fat nobody. Now I'm a king's kid. So at least I'm somebody. I'm coming up. Hey, easy it is to look down at somebody. I tell you, that woman's face haunts me from yesterday. And I don't know what to do to help her. There's something in my heart that says, help this lady. Can you help this lady? And so I'm praying. I'm praying to the Lord. You know, Lord, what do you want from me? We sang that song. Give me a, what was the song, Jody? No, Jesus Use Me. That's the one. We sang that song, Jesus Use Me. And please don't refuse me. For there is surely something that I can do. I don't care about my status anymore. I don't care about my place in here as far as big, little, whatever. I'm just happy to be in the building. I'm just happy to be among God's people. I'm just happy to be counted with the chosen few. I'm just happy that he reached down into Oklahoma and he saved a little old boy. 27 years later, he's sitting here in church trying to explain to you how much he loves God for saving him. And along the way, like I say, there's been many, many pitfalls. Boy, I tell you what, if you ain't ever got yourself in a mess, just keep living. You'll get yourself in one sooner or later. Sooner or later, something, you're going to try something, ain't going to go right. You're going to get yourself in a mess. About every time I put myself in a mess, I look at myself and I say, okay, which one was this? Was this the lust of the eye, the pride of life, or the lust of the flesh? Because one of them got you there. Anyway, but we have this Savior, and I appreciate him. I know this is not very deep thinking today, but it's just my heart. And I would ask you to close your eyes someday and just evaluate your life. These people, both stories, they were telling me they was blaming everything on their past. Everything on mom and dad. Everything on grandma, what they did or didn't or should or could or whatever do. I'm thinking, I understand that. It's easy, ain't it? It's easy to blame everybody else. It's easy to let that be the cage that keeps me contained my entire life. And we as Christians can do the very same thing. You know that you can count yourself as being nothing because of the actions of everybody, all your forefathers. Me and Brother Smith was talking just briefly right before church. I was looking for where David repented for the people, but it was actually Solomon that done it. And it's in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. And he says, it's where he started talking to the people. He said, if my people who are called by my name. And so it came a time that Solomon had to implore of God to remember his people. And implore the people to remember God. And he repented for the sins of his father, of the forefathers. Your parents can only live up to what they could live up in the measure of knowledge they have. That was their best. But what is your best? What is my best? Am I giving my best to God nowadays? Or am I still just kind of hanging on to that little thing that keeps me bound? Am I swearing deceitfully to myself? Am I parading myself to be one thing and actually doing something else? I'll jump to the Proverbs 30 right now for just a second. And there he makes a statement, and he says that there's, I will say this first, you find things in life you're looking for. I don't know if you ever heard the story, but you find exactly what you're looking for in this lifetime. And if you, whenever we I was reminded whenever we moved to Searcy, I hit Searcy and I didn't know anybody. Okay, there's only three people in that whole city I knew, and I was married to one of them, and the other two, they were my kids. It's all I knew. Wasn't it? Everybody asked me, you got any family around? Nope. Well, I got my wife and boys, but I ain't got nobody. And I was reminded of that story. This guy was moving. He packed up his wagon, got all moving. This old man sitting there rocking on the porch. He went down. This guy got his wagon all loaded, and they was going to move out west. They come through this little old one-horse hick town. This old man sitting up there rocking on his rocker. Just a spitting and whittling. And wagon pulled up, and he said, hey, mister. Oh, man. Yeah. He said, what kind of people in this town? He said, what kind of people were in the town you're from? He said, they were the sorriest, no good, rottenest group of people I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, my barn burnt down. They just sat there and watched it burn. One year, my crop went bad, and they wouldn't even help us through the winter. We survived on nearly nothing. Horse got sick, finally died. I couldn't get anybody to help me. That's horrible. He said, well, that's exactly the kind of people you'll find here. That guy's like, well, I ain't doing that. He rolled on out of town, old man sitting there. A little while later, another wagon rolled in. I said, hey, mister. I said, what kind of people in this town? I said, what kind of people was in the town you's from? He said, oh, I tell you. I said, that's the best people I ever met in my life. One year, my barn burnt down. The whole town come together, and we put up a barn in just a day. I mean, everybody was there. Lost some cows, and wolves got them, and a couple of neighbors gave me some cows to help give us some meat to get through the winter. They're some of the best people you ever want to meet in your life. He said, well, that's exactly the kind of people you're going to find here. So when I was walking around Searcy knocking on doors and passing out pamphlets, I was thinking, what kind of people are you going to meet, Jeff? What kind of people are you looking for? What kind of people were the people before? Well, I'd ask yourself that question sometime. Because you find what you're looking for in this deal. If you want the bad, you'll find the bad. You know, And if you want a rotten apple, you're going to find it because you're expecting it. But I just expect that I'm always going to find a good thing in here. I always expect I'm going to find exactly what God wants and a good thing for me. As Ruth said, good provender, clean provender. And that's what we have here because that's what I expect. Ain't it so great that that's what's provided? And things, how deceitful that we can be. We can be so deceitful to our own heart. And in Proverbs 30, he makes the statement there, and he shows four things that are deceitful. One of them is the way of an eagle in the air. I guess I'm fixing to jump subject just a touch, but I don't mean to. I'll get back to it. He makes this statement. He says, the way of an eagle in the air. There are three things that are too wonderful. One of them is an eagle in the air. Well, that's a beautiful sight, ain't it? We always tie that scripture they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Well, that sounds good. I always think of that scripture whenever I always think, y'all remember Brother Shepherd? Oh, Brother Shepherd, little short guy, no neck. Chin come out, about four or five chins. He got up one time, we're singing, they that mount up with wings of eagles shall renew their strength. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. And he got up one time, I don't remember, it was campground. We just happened to be at the same church service. He goes, you know, I used to run and not be weary. Now I just try to walk and not faint. He's about 85 years old. Well, sometimes that's just the way it is in this deal. Sometimes that's just the way it is in life. Sometimes you're hitting it and you're running on top of it, aren't you? And sometimes you're just trying to just walk through it and not pass out. But that particular eagle there in Proverbs 30 is not dealing with that. Those are two different pictures. That picture in Proverbs 30, he's showing you something that's deceitful. Something that looks to be something, but is actually something entirely different. And I don't want to go through the whole thing, but I'm sorry, it's in Proverbs 30 and 19 says, the way of an eagle in the air. Well, 18 says, there are three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. 19 verse. The way of an eagle in the air. That eagle there, he looks so smooth, don't he? When you look out there and you see that guy just flying so gracefully. If you've never flown in an airplane, I'm telling you, you need to call Brother Smith and let him put you in his airplane. It's a whole new world when you're up that high. Everything's so graceful and you can see so far. The world looks different when you're that high. This eagle here, when you look up at him and he's soaring across there, and I wish I had a phone app that would make the eagle sound. Put some drama into this. He's soaring across there and he's just doing his little thing. What you don't realize is he's a predator. He's a beautiful sight to behold. But the whole time he's looking for something to eat. Something that he can sink his talons into. Something that he can eat. Something that will bring life to him. There's people like that. Oh, they're so smooth. I mean, they're like snake oil salesmen. Everything they do is just so graceful. So polished, so smooth, so slick. What you don't realize is the whole time they're just sitting there looking for that one little rabbit, that one little lizard that's poking his head out from underneath that rock thinking it's clear. Have you ever seen that? What's that movie, Ringo? I was thinking of that movie, Ringo, where that little lizard he's got this vulture fixing to get him. He's out of place. You can watch that movie, go watch that movie. It's a cartoon movie. It's actually got a spiritual concept to it. This lizard's plumb out of place. He's out in the middle of the desert. He don't blend in very well with what's there because he don't fit. So he sticks out like a sore thumb. Anyway, let's move on. It says, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. You know, the way of the ship in the midst of the sea is a whole lot like that man that was looking for that town. A ship is a very smooth thing, ain't it? You look out there across that water. Just go out here to the river sometime, just watching big old barges go across there. It looks effortless, you know that? Looks so effortless. Hear that thing just going across the water top? What you don't see going underneath the water line of that? Is just there's just absolute violence going on. And sometimes that's the way, whenever we're looking at something, we think we see everything so smooth, but there's an undertow to it. There's something under the surface that we can't see going on. I could break that further on down, but I won't at this particular time. But I just want us to be cautious that whenever we get to looking at our lives, to not be deceitful to even our own heart. The heart is desperately wicked. I think it even says the heart is deceitful. Very deceitful. I get to thinking one thing and I think, well, this ain't for me. And I start looking and all of a sudden the lights of the lights across town look better than the lights on my street. One time when Justice was a little bitty boy, he was about 7 or 8 years old, he got up and gave a testimony. And in his testimony, he got to talking, and he said, and I love my boys, they give good testimonies, I think we all do, all our boys, but he got up and gave this testimony. He said, you know, whenever you're looking across the fence, they always say that the grass is greener on the other side. He said, you know, when you're sitting here, and you're looking right down on all the grass, you can see all the patches of dirt. You can see all the earth in this. It's because you're looking right down on it. Because you can see it for what it is. And when you look across the fence over there and it looks so much greener, what you don't realize is when you crawl over the fence and get over there, it's just the same dirt that it is over here. It's just that you're looking at it at an angle and all of that is hidden. That come out of the mouth of a 7 or 8 year old little boy in church in a testimony. And I've used that many times. I've used that in my own application of life, to be content with what I have. I'm content with what God has done for me. I appreciate y'all listening to me. I hope I didn't wear you out, but he's really been taking me on this journey. Pray for me, would you? Would you pray for me and my family? I mean, we ain't fixing to do something radical or nothing. Don't worry about that. But, you know, everybody needs help. Everybody needs prayer. We are a needy people. People are needy. Brother Brett Weiniger is very fond of telling us that the thing that people, the greatest fear in people is the fear of being insignificant. There's nothing more demeaning to you than feeling like you don't matter. I mean, it absolutely takes your power. It takes your force of life away from you. If you are in this room, you matter. There's a world full of people that matter. But God called on you and he brought you in here and he has taken an interest. There's a little old kid song we used to sing. He's taken an interest in me. Thank you so much that he took an interest in us. That he looked down upon me. I was that little leper. I said, Lord, you can heal me. And he had compassion on me and healed me. And I thank him for that. He don't just fulfill my wants or my needs. He fulfills some of my wants. But I've learned to temper everything I want. I appreciate salvation. I appreciate the body of Christ. I appreciate the Holy Ghost. I agree with Brother Smith. I don't think it's a person, but for sure. And I appreciate all of y'all. I want you to know that. I'm sorry. I repent to you for being so remiss and not getting up. I don't know that I've had a lot to say necessarily, but I just sometimes a person don't have a lot to say, but they do need to say what they do have to say. Because people need to hear you saying it. You know, just the way it is. My wife don't have to tell me every time she sees me that she loves me. But I guarantee if she goes 4 or 5 months without telling me, I'm probably going to need her to tell me she loves me. God don't have to have you telling him you love him. But you just keep going without doing it. You just keep going without showing that. There'll be a time that you'll be to a place that you'll be glad to say, I love you, Lord. So thank you, Lord, most of all. And thank you all here this morning. God bless.
Song, maybe the ushers would come and we'll receive your tithes and offerings. And also Brother McGowan still sick. Brother Weiniger went home from Bible study sick. He's feeling a lot of pain and discomfort in his neck where he had that neck surgery. And so we need to remember him in our prayers. Brother Matthew, I'm assuming, is still sick. He's got the flu bug. Dave and Gail are out of town this weekend. Help me out. What else we have? Sister Tally? Brother Tally has a cold, and Sister Lacey. All right. Sister Wilson. Remember her. Sister Elsie. All right. Sister Fisher. Hannah's got the flu this morning. Brother Fisher's not here. Sister Durham. All right. Brother Matthew. Sister Abraham. All right. Let's remember that. My. All right. Anything else? Maybe Brother Paul? All right. Sister Thompson, Brother Thompson's mother. Remember her in prayer. All right. Keep praying for Brother David Angelo and Sister Dials. Brother Angelo's got a better report, but I promised him we'd keep him on our prayer list. And keep asking God to lift him up completely and restore his health from this cancer that he's suffered. All right, let's stand and ask God. And Sister Lynette will give us a song to go with that good message. Thank you, Lord. God, for your goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Meet these needs, Lord God. Touch each one, Lord, that was mentioned here today. That's the De La Rosa family. Oh, God, Brother David Angelo, touch him. Sister Dow, God, keep touching her and helping her. Little Hannah, Sister Fisher. Oh, God, touch Matthew today. Lift him up. Each one, Brother Tally. Brother Daniels, God, touch their body. Brother Weiniger, help them, oh God. Mr. Elsie's family, God, keep touching and reaching into that family. And Sister Abraham, hallelujah, hallelujah, oh God. Praise. Precious Lord, precious Lord, touch Sister Wilson today. Brother Wilson, God, touch him. Help him, we pray. Amen, amen. All right. Lord, bless you as you give today.
I lift mine eyes unto the hills.
My love.
have enough? Do you have enough choir members, Sister Jody? We've got time before dinner's ready to have a choir song. Would y'all like to hear the choir sing? Amen. I appreciate Sister Pryor's labor with putting the choir together. It's a blessing to have. I want them to exercise. We need on dinner day, not having a night service, but having dinner after service, and everybody stay and clean this church. Probably wouldn't take less than an hour at the most, but I wouldn't want to do this until we all have a job to do, so everybody can do a part. There, of course, there's exemptions, you know, like the crows. They could sit there in the dining room and just boss people around, you know. They won't do that, but you know, I'm just saying, everyone that's capable of doing something, a job, we'd like, you know, to. So we'd have to get that set out. Wonder how y'all would feel about that. And we'd clean the church and go home and not have a night service. We'd move our youth service to dinner, to potluck dinner day. If you're not willing to help clean the church, stand up. You got this. No. If I ask everybody who's willing, I mean, I know it. I don't want to draw you out or embarrass you, but I'd like to get maybe some feedback on that. If once a month we really got a good deep cleaning, then the teams, you know, could just hit the high points. Because I realize we're living in a busy society, and it's hard sometimes to get here and it kind of turns into just a handful of people doing the cleaning, and a lot of the things that need to be done aren't getting covered. So we're not going to start that today. Yes, we'll still have cleaning teams just to, you know, to touch the, just to do what basically you're probably doing. I'd encourage those on cleaning teams to get in if you're not helping, to help your work on your cleaning team. Sometimes the guy that's in charge of the cleaning team's the only guy doing it. Sometimes I know there's people on teams that are faithful, but then there's people that can't seem to get here or get it done. But if we did this deep cleaning once a month, I think it would accomplish something, even maybe some things that, you know, even outside, we may need to just take a gander out there and make sure everything's presentable. You know, the first impression that people have sticks with them of anything, whether they come visit your home or your church or whatever, and we'd like to host the people that God sends our way in the best way that we can. So pray with me about that. We're not going to start it today because nobody would know what their job was. So anyway, all right, excuse me.
Today, then you can make it.
Like that? I like that myself. All right, let's ask God to bless the food and everyone that prepared it tonight is a youth service. Always God, you can tell God's interested in our youth because he always blesses the youth service on our youth service night. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you, Lord. God, for your goodness. Oh, Savior. Appreciate the words today in your spirit, oh God. Lord, direct our steps. Continue to help us and cover us, oh